I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me."
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm very glad to be back here at Sandyville with each and every one of you. I'm very thankful for the opportunity I have once again that the elders have afforded me to speak. I was very encouraged by many of the comments going out the door, but what many of you don't know is you are really an encouragement to me. And like I said before, one of the greatest blessings of my life has been traveling around and preaching, because I get to see brothers and sisters in Christ from all kinds of different areas, all kinds of different backgrounds, all drawn together to serve Christ. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's really what Paul pleaded for in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together and in the same mind and in the same judgment." Speak the same thing. Have the same mind, have the same judgment, and it's not a common thing, unfortunately, in our world today. But when we find it, what a beautiful thing it is. This evening, we're going to focus the lesson around Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, and I believe the idea that we find here. It reads, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" When I was around 18 years old, I got my first call to go preach somewhere. Jerry Yost from Duffy Church of Christ had cancer, and he ended up passing away a few months after, and they said, "Kyle, can you sub in?" And I said, "Yes," but it was a very reluctant yes. I had many, many doubts in my head. I thought, do I have enough knowledge to do this? Do I have the willingness to do this? And do I have the courage to do this? And what we realize is when we become Christians, we have put off to a certain degree certain of those things that we want. And we have to pursue what God wants us to pursue. And when we look at this statement, I have had it bouncing around my head for many, many years. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then we hear the response, "Here am I, send me." I think just that simple statement, "Here am I, send me," is a statement of a servant. And really, that is what Christ calls us all to be His servants, to serve Him throughout our life. It's a powerful statement related to service. "Here am I, send me." But what I think many people don't realize many times is if we want to say that statement, "Here am I, send me," I think there's some things that we have to accept before we can say that. I think that we have to accept some things that we need to be willing to do if we're going to say that statement. "Here am I, send me." I think we have to have a foundational knowledge of God's Word. If we want to, we have to know what God wants us to do. If we want to be a servant of the Lord, we have to have a knowledge of His expectations and what He wants us to do throughout our life. "Here am I, send me." Well, where? Where am I going? We have to have a knowledge of where God wants to send us. Number two, we have to have a willingness. Because there's many individuals where God asks them to do something and they say, "No, I don't want to do that." And there's various reasons that they could do that. And also, our final one is that you have to have courage to say, "Here am I, send me." "Here am I, send me. Wherever you ask me to go, I will go. If you ask me to go into the trenches, I'll go. If you ask me to talk to this person, I will go. If you ask me to go and preach to a land that has turned their back on God, I will go. Here am I, send me." We as Christians are servants. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But he who desires to lose his life for my sake will find it.'" It says, "If anyone desires." to come after me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Just simple and profound statements in the Bible. Here am I, send me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Very simple statements. Very easy to say, but we know that when it comes to application, that's when the challenges come. We understand in this life we have to have our priorities straight. If we want to be a servant of God, we have to have our priorities straight. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Many people throughout this life, they are pretend servants of the Lord, as they don't want to take up their cross daily and follow him. Maybe on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday, but I am going to lay that cross down when it comes Monday. When I go into work, I'm laying that cross down. When I go into college, I'm going to lay the cross down. When I'm with my friends, I'm going to lay the cross down. When I'm at family functions, I'm going to lay the cross down. But we have to be servants all the time. I think there's things that precede the statement. If we are honestly going to say, "Here am I, send me," I think there's some things as Christians we have to have. One of those things we have to have is knowledge. We have to have the knowledge of where God wants us to go in our lives. And a lot of people don't want to listen to that many times, as they want to go their own way. And we all have this ability to come to a knowledge of God's expectations for us. So many places throughout the Bible, it emphasizes us to grow as servants of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." To obtain knowledge, to know what God's expectations are, it takes some effort. It takes some effort. And what's unfortunate is our society has come to a point where the pursuit of knowledge, especially when we're talking about spiritual knowledge, the expectations of our Lord, they don't want to hear it and they don't want to put any time in. They don't want to know where God wants to send them, because God might send them someplace where they don't want to go. I don't want to go where God's sending me, so I'm just not going to read His Word. That way I, on the day of judgment, can claim ignorance and say, "God, I didn't know You wanted me to preach the gospel to my neighbors. God, I didn't know You wanted me to love my enemies." In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, "This time of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." We have to have a knowledge of God's expectations for us. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica." Why were they more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica? "In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." We see the Bereans, they accepted God's word and they said, "We are going to study it and we are going to check it out and make sure that this is the truth. We want to make sure that this is what God's plan is for our lives." But many people don't see that. It says, "They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily." Where has daily Bible study went in our country? It has went out the door. Isn't it such a sad fact that we have the expectations of our Lord almost in every house? They hand out the Bible in this country on the street corners. We have probably more access to the Bible than probably any other period in history, and yet we turn it aside and say, "I don't want to know God's expectations for me. I don't think I want to know where God wants to send me and what He's going to do to direct my life." And what's sad is many people think that we can get God's word through osmosis. That if we carry a Bible around on our side, that somehow magically we are going to mysteriously come up with what the truth is and what God wants us to do and how to be saved and just how to live our lives. It's like if you have a Bible, you're good. Because somehow it's just going to come into your mind. You don't have to read. You don't have to study. You don't have to apply yourself. But that's not the idea we see in the Bible. Is that the servants of God knew God's expectations. They knew what God wanted them to do. And it's sad that we have it right here before us, the expectations of the Lord, and we turn a blind eye and we say, I don't want to hear that. It takes time to grow in knowledge. It doesn't happen overnight. But to put forth no effort is the mistake. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we can rightly divide the word of truth, there's certainly a wrong way to divide it. And many people throughout their lives will take the little snippets that they want and go about their lives and make that God's expectations for their life. But if we want to be a servant of the Lord and say, here am I, send me, we have to know where the Lord is sending us. And the only way we can decipher that is if we get into God's Word. If we get into God's Word, we've laid it aside. We've laid it down. How can we be a servant? How can we do what the Master wants us to do if we don't know what He wants? There's so many people out in the world today who profess to be Christians, who almost don't even know the Bible exists. The expectations of where the Master wants to send us. You know, it's kind of like being on the job. I've worked many jobs throughout my life. One is mowing yards with my two brothers. And every time we go to the house, we ask the owner, what is your expectations? Do you want it mowed a certain way? Do you want trimmed around this, or do you want us to leave that alone? We ask the owner's expectations for what they want to be done with their yard being mowed. And then we do it to the best of our ability. But what people decide to do now is we don't want to ask the boss what he expects, because we might not want to do what he asks us to do, so we're just going to ignore it. We're not even going to ask. We're just going to go about our lives, we're just going to go about our jobs, and we're going to be dandy. But that is not what the Bible has to say. The servants of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament knew God's expectations, and they acted on them diligently to do the best they could. We have to have a knowledge of what God wants us to do. Example, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We cannot know these things if we shut God's word, if we shut God's expectations, if we shut what the Master wants us to do as servants of God. So before we can say, here am I, send me, we have to know where the Lord is sending us. Number two is we have to have a willingness to serve the Lord. We have to have a willingness to serve the Lord. People can be forced to do certain things as they go throughout life. But for the most part, God has granted us the great blessing of free will. And it's interesting how that great blessing of free will probably hurts us more than any other thing. When we see friends and family who decide on a consistent basis to walk away from the truth. But see, without free will, we wouldn't even be here today. It's one of the greatest blessings, but it's one of those that probably hurts us the most. But if we want to be a servant of the Lord, we have to be willing to serve the Lord. We can't be lukewarm. We can't do this half-heartedness. Well, I want to serve the Lord today, but not tomorrow. I'm going to serve the Lord until I get with my peers. I'm going to serve the Lord until I get to school. I'm going to serve the Lord until I get into the workplace. And then that's when it's all going to fall apart. When it comes to our spiritual choice to become a Christian, it's one that we each have to make. If we are going to serve the Lord until our death. And sometimes that hurts us the most. Because we realize we have to do the best we can for ourselves and for those that are around us. But what we realize is I can do the absolute best for the people around me, and they can still make the wrong choice. They can still decide to turn their back on the Lord. And we see it throughout the Old Testament of faithful men who had spouses, who had daughters and sons, who turned their backs on the truth. It's not uncommon. What we have to realize is being a servant of the Lord is a choice. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, we have an occasion where Jesus is talking about some certain things and some people decide to walk back. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood in that context. But we see a situation where Jesus said something that offended some people, and they chose to walk away. Now, I think this is interesting. I don't think it's a mistake that the Bible did not record the situation that I'm going to tell you. That Jesus did not run these people down and say, whoa, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I made a mistake. You probably didn't want to hear that. So let me change it. Let me change it a little bit so that you will follow me. I don't see Jesus doing that. Is that Jesus has willing followers. We can't force people into the Christian life. As much as we wish we could sometimes, we cannot force people into the Christian life. They have to choose it for themselves. And it's certainly the best life to live when we look in perspective of eternity. The observation that Simon Peter makes, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Who else am I going to serve, Lord? Am I going to serve me? Am I going to serve my own worldly lusts? Am I going to serve some earthly master? Or am I going to serve the one who has the ability to give me everlasting life? Not everyone will follow Jesus. Not everyone will decide to pick up their cross daily and follow him. And he asked him the question, will you go also? The interesting thing about Christians is we're all volunteers. Isn't that an interesting idea? We are all volunteers. God on high, the most powerful who created the world, gave us the freedom of choice to serve him or not to serve him. He could have forced us. We could all be robots. We are all volunteers. And we have to make the choice to follow him. Free will is, it applies to everybody. The kings, the presidents, the peasants. It applies to everyone. Everyone has the ability to choose. King Agrippa had the choice in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. He said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Paul could have did some miracle that would have influenced him maybe another way. But no, Christians are all volunteers. We have to have a willingness to serve the Lord. And it applies to people becoming Christians also. You know, I understand that there's a healthy conversation that needs to be had with people that are lost. But I fear sometimes that people, quote unquote, become Christians because they feel the pressure. Well, mom and dad, you know, when you become a Christian, it has to be your decision. It can't be mine. It can't be mom's. It can't be dad's. It has to be yours, because at the end of the day, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you will give an answer for your actions, both good and bad, before God. Mom's not going to be there. Dad's not going to be there. I love my brothers to death. I'd do anything for them. I'm not going to be there for my brothers on the day of judgment. And they're not going to be there for me. We have to be a willing servant of the Lord. And we cannot force people into service. It has to be a decision of their own. So to be a servant of the Lord, we have to know God's expectations. We have to be willing to serve the Lord. And number three, we have to have courage. You have to have some courage to be a Christian. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom, which that's often attributed to me, but it might get a lot worse before it gets better. We're going to need some Christian courage. Some Christian courage to stand up for the Lord. When the hard times come, will we fold? Will we stop serving the Lord when persecution comes? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And I don't know if we can necessarily answer it until we're in that situation. If we want to serve the Lord, we have to have courage. And it's coming. The Bible says, if you desire to live righteously, you will suffer persecution. I always took that as, if I'm not being persecuted in some way or form, I'm not doing my job right. That's how I've always taken it. If you desire to live righteously, you will suffer persecution. There's many forms of persecution. And when we look through the apostles and the Christians in the New Testament, it's amazing what they went through. It's not the situation we've had in America for many years. of Christian principles, Christian ideas, Christian morality. I think often we're a little spoiled in the United States. For a long time we have been. I think we forget about our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries, where they are threatened with death on a daily basis, where they are threatened with a whip on a daily basis, where they do have to hide and meet, where they do meet from house to house, just like they did in the New Testament. We don't get to decide where we're born, but we can decide how we live our life. I hope the time doesn't come, but the time might come where we have to have that Christian courage that we see in the New Testament. To stand where others run. To stand while others run. Standing with our Lord as the servant that He wants us to be against the world that is coming in around us. In John chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We are Christians. We go against the majority. And for some reason, I don't know why, somehow we have flipped that around. We go against the majority. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I think we've bought into this idea that we're not the minority. We are the minority. We are going against the majority, and when you go against the majority, you better have some courage. If you want to serve the Lord at all times, in all situations, you better have some courage. The apostles prayed for boldness after they suffered some persecution. You know, maybe we need to dedicate a little more time to our prayer life. Because I feel like many times it is forgotten in times when we don't need that much courage. But when we need courage, we turn to the Lord and we say, I need your help. But it should be something that never goes away. We should be always asking the Lord for assistance and help. We have to have courage like we see in the New Testament. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, we see a few individuals that we might know in front of the Sanhedrin. It says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. And what did they do? They went right on preaching the gospel. To be a servant of the Lord, we have to know what He expects of us. To be a servant of the Lord, we have to be willing to serve Him. And to be a servant of the Lord, we have to have courage. So maybe you say, okay, I have those things. I'm not perfect, but I do have those things. I have a knowledge. I know what God's expectations are. And I have a willingness to serve the Lord. And I'd like to say, when those times come, I will have the courage. So I think I can say, here am I, send me. And something interesting happens when we become the servants of the Bible. When we become the servants that God wants us to be, what happens is we become light. As we read about in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do you light a lamp and put it under a basket, but you put it on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that you may that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Is that if we say, I know God's expectations, I'm willing to do them, and I have the courage to follow through, we become light. Just like God told us we would be. We will become the lights of the world that cannot be hidden, that cannot be ignored. As society creeps in on us and society's morality collapses around us, we will only shine brighter. As we try to live the life that we should be living as a servant of God. I attend WP, West Virginia University at Parkersburg, and there was a lady there, and we had class together. And we ended up getting partnered up. And just through our interactions, I thought, man, this is just a really quality person. You know, she's just really went the extra mile. She knew that I lived a little bit away from the college, about 30 minutes. And she said, I'll meet you here. And she's just very accommodating, da, da, da. And religion came up. I ended up realizing that she was a sister in Christ. You know, it's hard to hide a Christian. It's hard to hide a Christian of the Bible who knows God's expectations, who's willing to do them, and has the courage to follow through in all situations. You cannot hide it. And unfortunately, many of our brothers and sisters try to. I don't want to be noticed. I don't want to stick out. But if you are a servant of the Bible, you're going to stick out. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Like a light in a dark room. If we put a candle in the middle of the room, we shut out all the lights. Tell me you could ignore the light. We'd all be looking at it. It's dark all around. All I see is the light. And that's what we're called to be as Christians in the world. As servants of God, we are the light of the world. And yet, we try to hide that light sometimes, don't we? If we are the servants that God wants us to be, we cannot be hidden. We cannot be ignored. You can't hide someone who loves their neighbor as their self. It's not common. You can't ignore someone who does good to all, especially those of the household of faith, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. You cannot hide it. You cannot hide a servant of the Lord. The Bible also compares us to salt. If we all closed our eyes today and I gave you a spoonful of salt, you know exactly what it was. And yet we think when we go out in the world, we can hide and we can blend in. Not a servant of the Lord. Not a servant of the Lord. Here am I, send me. God, I know your expectations. I'm willing to do them, and I have the courage to follow through in all situations. So the question is, why do we go? Well, we go a lot because of love. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We go because we want to go to heaven. We go because we care for the lost of the world and we want to help them. Christians are in the minority. No doubt. The servants of the Lord are in a minority. But the interesting thing is those are the people I want to be around. I want to be around the servants of the Lord. We're a small group, but I love each and every one of us who serves the Lord and is the servant of the Lord, who says, here am I, Lord, send me. We try to lay those other things aside. You know, Lord, you might send me into some situations I don't want to be in because you asked me to go, I'll go. Lord, I'm not really comfortable doing well. He'll be with us. We need to be servants of the Lord as we go throughout life. And it's tempting to look back on our lives. And I see one of two things that Christians typically do when they look back on their lives is one, they get very prideful and say, look what all I did. And number two is they say, man, I just am crap and I'm worthless. You know, I think both of those are somewhat wrong. We have to watch both of those. We're doing the best we can. But yet we can't become prideful. In Luke chapter 17, verse 10, it says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty to do. We have done what is our duty to do as servants of Christ. Here am I, send me. We have to have a knowledge of God's expectations. We have to be willing to do what He asks. We have to have the courage to follow through in all situations. For the most part, we've been talking to Christians. Now we're going to turn it to non-Christians. If you're a non-Christian, it's kind of a similar pattern to become a Christian. Is you have to have a knowledge of what God's expectations are. You have to know what God says you have to do to become a Christian, which is hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized, out of the church, live a faithful life. You have to know that. Then you have to ask yourself, are you willing to do that? And we see that many people will turn that down. People say, I'm not willing to do that. And number three is you're going to have the courage to follow through. Just as we have to do as Christians throughout our lives. Here am I, send me. I know the expectations. I'm willing to do it and have the courage to follow through in all situations. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.